Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Only to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to watch a video clip. If you'd like to stand in honor, please do so. If you're not able to, we understand, but please turn your attention to the scripts.
Ended in places called Bellwood, Omaha Beach, Salerno, Guadalcanal, the Chosen Reservoir, the jungles of Vietnam, and the deserts and mountains of Iraq and Afghanistan. What they gave us is beyond our power to repay. So, all we can do is remember them. We see them in our minds as old and wise, when most of them were so young. And when they died, they gave up two lives. The one they were living, and the one they would have lived. No weapon in the world is more formidable than the will and courage of free men and women. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. There are those who say that we are in a time when there are no heroes. They just don't know where to look.
So, Father, as we come to you today, first of all, we celebrate our relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and to give us the power that we need to live our lives for you. And, Father, we honor the ones that gave their ultimate sacrifice for us, the ones that fought for our freedom, the ones that fought for our rights, that gave their whole lives, everything about them in battle, and then the ultimate sacrifice of their life and weren't able to come home. So, Father, we honor them. We recognize them for their patriotism, for their bravery, for their courage, and for their sacrifice. Father, we pray for the families of those that are left behind. We have people that are without grandfathers and grandmothers, and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, because they paid that ultimate sacrifice. So would you fill that gap in their lives? Would you put people in their lives to help and support them on their journey? Would you give them a peace beyond our understanding that shows how much you love and care about them? And we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Robin, would you come up? Welcome Robin up here, and she's going to share with us for a couple of minutes.
So I thought I was going to be saying goodbye to you, so I asked for a few minutes to just tell you what it's meant to me and John. He should be coming in any second. to be here for the last 8 months. We came here from another state where we were involved in a terrible fight. For the freedom of our families and our children. And I asked God where to take us. And I came here and bought a condo off the internet in a county I'd never been in. And I felt great about it. And I got here and I loved it. And we walked in this room. And what I want to tell you is that God knew that we needed support after we were raised in a Christian denomination. And for, thank you. She knows I'm a crier. That's my kryptonite. And for decades, we were taught that it's not okay to do what we're doing here. You can't be on your feet. You can't have these instruments. You must sit in your seat and be quiet, or you're not being reverent and you're not worshiping. And my husband is on his own journey, and he has to come in after the music, and he gets to be on his own journey, and it's okay. And he loves it here, and he loves to hear you speak. He loves to hear you speak. Well, I have to go home to Utah. I have to sell my house. And I thought we were leaving for a year, and we may not be, and that will be very exciting. But you know, I was sitting listening to Rod speak, and these people have done more to heal us from our trauma, from decades in a cult that we had to escape, where our lives were scripted for us from the minute we get up in the morning to the minute we go to bed at night, and every year of our life was dictated to us. And my husband, he did just walk in. doesn't like attention, though. Don't look at him. He spent 2 years knocking on doors with a white shirt and a tie, teaching the dogmas of those cults, that cult. And he and I spent 10 years not going to church. And we knew that we had thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We knew it. We weren't atheists. We weren't agnostics. We just didn't know how to find our way back when we threw out the bad stuff. And we found it the day that we walked in here. And I had tried going to several churches, and I would leave feeling really weird about the dogmas that just felt like what I did for decades, how I raised my children. And I walked in here, and I just got a big hug from someone I'd never met before, and I just want to thank Rod and Val for being such a part of my healing, because I needed to heal all that trauma and get the baby bath back with the without the bathwater. And I just feel to bring something up. There's please don't give me the credit for this. I don't get the credit for this, but there are a few couples in this congregation who have decided to match any donations to take this burden off these lovely people who've been such an incredible tool of healing. And not just them, so many of you have become dear friends to us. I love you guys so much. And I've only been here for 8 months. I've never made friends this fast that I love so much. You know who you are. But we want to, not we, there's several couples who want to match. If you will come up with $70,000, we want to wipe out that mortgage by the end of June. They shouldn't have this heavy burden, this heavy financial burden on them when they're just trying to tend to their flock, right? And I don't want anybody here to feel any pressure from that, like none. Some of you are fighting battles, like Val said up here this morning, like everything that came out of her mouth was right straight from the Holy Spirit. I don't want any of you to feel any pressure about that. Some of you just need to tend to your own family, and that is okay. But I was out in my kayak a couple nights ago, and I came across this amazing dock. And when we're out in our kayaks, we live right on the intercoastal, and there's this huge dock, and I've never seen a boat in it. And they were having a big party on the dock, so I like rode over there, and I was just chit-chatting with them. They had dogs and children and beer, and I said, "This is an amazing dock. Like, I've never even seen a dock this nice. What is the deal? Like, where's your boat?" And he said, "Well, I'm waiting for all the people who COVID panicked and were feeling cooped up, and they bought RVs or boats at the top of the market, and I'm waiting till I can afford to buy a boat. Well, I was like, I bet somebody at Coastal has a boat that they've been paying to sit somewhere that they could sell to this guy. I'll connect you to him. Maybe they could, a little miracle could happen that way. Anyway, if any of you have something you could sell between now and the end of the of June, there's an offer on the table by several couples in this congregation to match it and wipe out this mortgage. And so I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you donate, just, you know, however it is. I do the regular thing on the website, but just, I don't know, talk to them or however that needs to happen. But I just, somebody needed to announce that, and I did not, I was not asked to do this. I asked if I could do this. So please just look inside your heart and see if you're one of the ones who I feel to say, here's an invitation. Please join us. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Morning, Coastal. It's great to be together. Appreciate that. Thanks, Robin. Just to kind of update you, everybody, the 2 weeks ago it was 150,000, then last week it was 130,000, and now it is 98,000 we owe. So we're going the right direction. Thank you. So, so if you guys just come up with 70,000, then, you know, we can just quickly just get rid of that. And then, and the heart of this whole thing is so we can employ a couple to help us, because I sense where God's taking us. I'm running low on the energy and the legs to do everything. So we have a couple in mind, and so we want to be able to have their salary. And I don't want to put a burden on our monthly budget, so I want to do that. Please, can you do one thing, though? Don't cut your tithe and put it into the mortgage, because that really, that messes up the light bills and all the people I have to pay during the missions, guys. So don't stop giving your tithe, please don't do that. Yeah. But thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Last year and the year before, we kind of just really had an emphasis that we wanted to make place at the table for the young and next generation. And we continually do that, and, we're doing it in different levels, and so I just wanted to say that today's service is one of those steps that we're going to be doing. And Robin, well done. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate you. She shares all around the countryside and around the world, so it's wonderful. I just want to make note, Tom and Susie, real honor to have you in the house. Please, can you stand? Because I just want to recognize you, and I didn't know that they were coming. Hallelujah. Sadly, what brings them across the pond, they come from, this side of the planet, is because they live in California. That's another world, completely different mindset, different currency, different passport, everything. It's a way. A mutual friend passed, and so they're this side, and we went to the memorial on Friday. So I just wanted to say that they brought Oscar and Mary across to Coastal to the Victory Church in Cape Town. And it's there that this whole thing was birthed. We were blessed by Tom and Susie to stay in their home. They were at that time struggling in the mission field of Hawaii. And so they let us stay there while they ministered. And while I was walking there, it was the 60th anniversary for Pearl Harbor. God said, I need you to lay Victory down in Cape Town. I need you to move. And that's where it was birthed. And it's so, if there's any fault, it's their fault, okay? So Tom and Susie, we want to honor you. So you're in the roots of all this, and thank you so much. And here we are 16 years into it, and we're very grateful. So just want to honor you, say thank you. Totally surprised you're here, totally honored that you're here with us today. And just a couple of announcements, and then Jedediah, if you could make your way up here, and they can just get you ready. Barry's Bible study is going on to Philippians, so we start that this week. So just please... make time for it. It's great here on Wednesdays. All the information's there. Bruce Snell is the gentleman I'm bringing in to be part of our men's breakfast next week. So please do not run away from Mike, the clipboard, when they come and get your name for men's breakfast. I really want you at men's breakfast this week. And so looking forward to that. There's a soul-winning course run by Andy Elms that's going to be run every Sunday in June, four Sundays in June from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. that you can go online. So just cut that time out. and just give all the sports on that time just a sidetrack, Tebow it, and then you can listen to the soul winning. We really need to get hold of those that don't know the great news, the good news that Robin was talking about. So really want to do that. Bible school. So Bible school starts 10th of August. Financial Peace University starts September 14th. All those, I'm just giving you heads up because we really need you to invest in that. And so at the table, we've invited a PK, preacher kid. Jedediah is obviously, his mom and dad have been in the ministry for years. And obviously you saw them dedicate baby a little while. They had a COVID baby, just kind of let you know that. And so quarantine, that quarantine does that to you, you know. So just an honor. He works hard. He's in the contracting world. He's in the real world where he rubs shoulders with the world and their language and their belief and everything else. And I asked him a few weeks ago and said, come on, it's your turn now. Step up. And we want to hear what God's saying through your heart. So, Father, thank you for Jedediah. Thank you that as he comes, he's a yielded vessel for the master's use. And so, Father, as we sit here, we want to have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And so, Father, we thank you for anointing this time, this anointing, this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jedediah.
This is on, right? Okay. If I'd have known you were wearing a Dolphins jersey, I might have come up here a little different today. I would have worn my Josh Allen Salute the Service jersey. Figured it was intentional. So anyways, good morning, Coastal. Like Pastor had said, he's given this opportunity to me a couple times, and hopefully eventually I start to settle in a little bit and not be so nervous. But to have this beautiful young lady make this thing look like professional, so it is very good. Thank you, Val. So when I do this, it's tough for me to kind of hone in where I need to go, and I'm quite the procrastinator, so I need like that week leading up to really get into it. So I kind of went back on some of my past messages. I had a Not Today, Satan, where, you know, we really need to acknowledge that we are being tested daily by the minute and that we need to just push that to the side. And then I led into, you know, why do we doubt him? When we're pushing Satan to the side, you know, why are we doubting the power that we have from God to overcome that? And Robin kind of started it great. This church has always started here and started now. And we do a great job inside these walls of continually building people up and showing them love and healing and whatever is the need. I can assure you that it'll be attempted to be met here. So Pastor has been speaking on faithfulness and fear. I'd put in a different words. I put all faith, no fear. And then through the football season, once when my boy was doing it, they had a great slogan, all gas, no brakes. I mean, if we're going all gas, no brakes, all faith, no fear, shouldn't be that hard. So as we get to going, I really want to push the church and those to really start here and start now. We are blessed in America to really have the freedom of Christianity. But with that, it gets watered down a lot, I feel. We get very comfortable in this. I go to church on Sunday. I'm good for the week. I'll be back on Sunday. I'll keep relationships involved, and I'll continue to just check in here and there. But we need to be the church on Monday and Tuesday and wherever we are at. You know, if we take into heart every time we're running into somebody, it's starting there, it's starting now. We have that opportunity not to flood them with, oh, this is how I believe, this is that. And trust me, I struggle with that, especially with the politics world these days. But so Proverbs 3:25-27 says, do not be afraid of sudden tear or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. we have that power to show love, to show kindness, to show God's love. And we have it more times during the day than we probably even think about. You're at the cash register line, it says 10 items or less, and that person has that full carriage right in front of you. You know, thank the lady at the register. You did good. You didn't get overwhelmed. You know, just show a little bit. There's plenty in this world to keep you all worked up. So Coastal also through this year has been challenging us to read the Bible in a year. I fell a little behind this week. I typically get 12 days behind was the most I got. You get caught up sometimes. But really, it's shown a lot to me. And I've known of the stories, but there's even small stories in those stories that maybe are three verses that you never caught. And as I've been going through this, I've realized that even the Israelites, with all the miracles they were able to see, still struggled. They still couldn't figure it out. I mean, I was at lunch one day, and I saw this sign that just kind of replicated everything that's going on in 2020 when I saw it. And then as I've been reading, I mean, the Israelites were just doing this over and over. It says, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. And it's a true thing. Moses is on a mountain for 40 days. And before he didn't even get down, they collected all the, and think about that, to collect all that gold to get the calf, that had to take a little bit. I mean, we're talking like day three, they're already getting with Aaron. This isn't right, you know. They just walked the Red Sea. They just watched all the plagues, watched the Nile turn red, and they can't wait 40 days. But really, we need to be weary of that. You know, there is always groups telling us what we need to think, how we need to believe it. But God will put it in your heart where it's at, and just follow that through, whether it's, you know, going to get frowned upon or not. Later, and even later on with the large group, Korah even confronts Moses and says, you know, who makes you holier than thou? And he even brings 250 men that were well-known men, chiefs of the Congress. They were all about who is the holiest. Moses didn't rebuke them. He just literally said, well, let God decide. You know, if you're holier, let God tell you. So what happens? Korah and his family, the whole earth just opens down. And then it doesn't even take one day. The next day, why'd you kill God's people? They come into Moses again, the whole congregation. So then a whole plague comes and Aaron's got to be running, doing, you know, making sure he can try to rebuke it. And 14,700, I think I wrote the number, I thought. Yeah, 14,700 people killed by a plague the next day. So, again, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Sorry if that offended anybody. So, on the way, one way we can start here and start now is, I actually changed this on Friday because I think Pastor did enough with the political world last Sunday. But I originally had it as your life matters, but I changed it to your soul matters or your salvation matters. When we get in conversation with anybody, if we have a mindset that your soul matters, your life matters, we're putting ourselves away. We're not worried about our thinking. We're more focused on that person, that individual. And these days, that gets noticed. When somebody knows, hey, that person really wants to know how my day was. That person really cares about, he saw that this situation was happening, or she saw that this situation was happening, and addressed it in a loving manner that they matter. I think as a church, we could do a lot by that. And again, it's great inside these walls. We do it all the time. And I know others are outside, but this is just kind of, I really want to build that fire that these walls here, Flagler Beach, Flagler County, I mean, with the power that y'all have done, I mean, helping heal Robin of years of what they've been in. I mean, imagine what Flagler Beach could like. Imagine what Flagler County could be like. And to the point where people might start coming wondering what's going on here. I definitely take a lot usually through my music. I skipped one, I'm sorry. No. I don't know if it's in order, John, but you're already on that YSM. Okay. So Aha Gazelle, he had these lyrics, and it just kind of hit me. Not so much the first part, but then as I went back to read it, it really sticks. The world has been spinning for centuries. It ain't about you. Get removed, and it's still going to revolve. You need to check your perspective. It's hard to get better once you let your feelings get involved. When we let our feelings control how we're doing it, it's not going to work out because we're becoming me, myself, and I. This is how you should act. This is how you should be. And we have no idea where anybody's at in their life. So I also was reading an article, and this man put it perfect. And so I did kind of steal this here. But it's a call to consider Jesus and his work on the cross before taking the first opportunity to defend your side or to attack the other side. It is an appeal to speak truth, condemn wickedness no matter the cost. It is a reminder that allegiance to an agenda other than the Great Commission is a compromise to our witness. When we are focused on getting people to be like us or believe things the way we are eliminating the whole purpose. The purpose is to bring to Jesus, not to bring to us. We have no righteousness in ourselves without the righteousness of God. So we should be confronting it with that aspect. John 10:11, really Jesus showing this right there, says, I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. I mean, I can assure you most of the time we're running. That is way too much trouble for me. I am not getting into that one. But Jesus set that standard. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Romans 14:19. So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. This is how we need to start here, start now, build up. Know that it's already been done. We don't have to do it. So stop trying to do it. Jesus lived and sacrificed his life for yours and for mine. I think of David in the cave when Saul walks right in there and, you know, took his time doing what he had to do. And all David's men, hey, God delivered him. God delivered him to you. And David would not do it, for God anointed Saul. Saul was anointed by God. So for him to murder him then, he's going against God. So 1 Samuel 24:9-10 says, and David said to Saul, so before that, he cuts off a garment and keeps that garment with him and then confronts Saul later. And I'm always fascinated because, I mean, they got to be at a distance, but yet they seem to just have a conversation, but I'm assuming they aren't that close. But he says, and David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, behold, David seeks your harm. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Then following later on in that, it goes 16-19. As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for I have repaid my good where I have repaid you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt well with me, in that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For I am a man, for if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day." And, you know, Saul goes back home, then continues, he still wants to keep this up, you know. So, and again, it's just that continual, we got to stay on focus. The Satan is going to continue to come at us, conflict us, make us think that we aren't good enough. I mean, not one of us is without sin, so we're never going to be good enough. We need Jesus, simple and plain, and without that, we got nothing going. So not only did this happen once, he had a second opportunity. So in Samuel, 1 Samuel 26, 21 through 24, then Saul said, now this is after they go into the camp. The Lord puts a sleep over all the men. He basically says they're yours. And Saul's spear is sitting next to him in a jar of water. And again, the men with him take the spear. Just end it. And again, he can't because it's anointed by God. So afterwards, he goes off on the hill and calls for Saul again. And then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly and have made a great mistake. Behold, as your life was precious this day in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me out of this tribulation. So I kind of picture Jesus as David, sitting there like, how many times you could have died and I got you? I got your garment. I've taken the spear from going through you. I've held the water for you to keep. And he's just continually given us multiple chances. So we have no reason but not to start here and start now. David was always, always seeking the Lord. I mean, aside from a couple times, but he was reminded about that very, very vividly. And even at that, when Goliath is taunting the Palestine or taunting the Israelites, it wasn't that this man was big. David started then and started now because that man was going against God. He was talking horrible things and sitting there. I mean, I was showing my kids the other day, 9'6". That's a big man. And some of this stuff, when they show you all the weights and everything and you get through it, I mean, that sword that he's carrying later on, and I mean, even the head's got to be 30, 40 pounds that he's toting around. And he just kept it like a little prize, you know? But David was always focused, kingdom-minded. Anything in that kingdom, he wouldn't rebuke, even if it wasn't serving God the way it was. There's another lyric that kind of caught me, is he lies, he lie like illusion. He emphasized my delusion. Like, did he say, you must not eat fruit from that tree? Like, did he say this? We do that. Like, does he really mean that, you know, I shouldn't do this? Does he really mean that? You know, we start interpreting our own God when we get into those realms. We start creating our own God. It's not that confusing. It's pretty well. What's confusing, we don't want to do it. That's the confusing part. Our flesh does not want to allow us to follow through with it because it means we have to make a sacrifice. There's a sacrifice needing to be made in order to do that, because you might not be the cool kid. You might not be that awesome. Oh, that guy's just, you know, little little righteous person or whatever. But people will see that around you, and you will lead others through actions are so much better than words. We get told multiple times, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. When I see you here doing it, and I know it's true. But so we get sold a counterfeit on a daily basis. We are continually being sold a counterfeit, whether it be our success, the woman or man that you have with you, the amount of likes on Instagram or Facebook. You know, I've seen a lot of these teenagers, they're consumed by that. They need that social media to feel good. They need that built up to feel good, because we've lost a lot of personal interaction, especially over this past year. You know, people don't know how to just pick up a phone and call. We text. You know, it took me 5 years before I text. I was a high schooler, and they'd text back, I'd pick up and call them again. They'd text back, pick up and call them again. Until you pick up the phone, man, I'm not, you know. So, but we need to be more, you know, communicative. Texts get taken on wrong way multiple times because you're reading that how you want to read it, not how it was written to you. So if you're saying it, it's a little easier. And if it gets taken wrong, you'd be like, oh, no, I didn't mean that. So again, if we struggle to start here and now, really, what does it say about us? I mean, here in Florida, and Florida in particular, we have such freedom. I mean, I like to call it the free state of Florida. You know, Pastor already touched on Canada. You know, there's preachers up there being arrested because they want to do this. Because they want to do this and keep that personal attention together, they're going to jail. And even worse in Nigeria, even before, while I was writing this, I read another article last night, the persecution of Christians through jihadi terrorism and locals there is, it's bad. And for them to still sit there and be like, I believe in Jesus, knowing what they got to do. When we say I believe in Jesus, the worst we're going to get is, oh, that guy's cool, or whatever. You ain't going to get macheted down by some 20 people that got an intention to eliminate you. So that is real, real persecution. In China, you can't even be a part of a church unless, and it's allowed to be said here because they are the Communistic China Party. So unless you are actually part of that, you aren't even allowed to have a church. They even took the Bible app off of phones. You can't even download the Bible app if you're in China. So we have but that freedom, we get way too comfortable. It's easy. It's easy just to come in and do our thing and go back out and just be swimming fishes with them all. So John 8:15-16 says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. So we have no purpose to judge. It's being done for us. We don't need to determine whether that person's going to heaven, going to hell. But that's their decision. But our actions and our love that we can show them a purpose. I mean, my wife and I, we've been told multiple times from the in-laws in the beginning, oh, it's your crutch, it's good, it's working for you, you know, that's a good thing. You got your thing. And, you know, but we still hope over the years as they continue to see what it is and continue to see that we're willing to acknowledge where we're screwing up or willing to acknowledge where we aren't right, that, you know, eventually, hopefully it comes and fold for them. Because your testimony has a lot of power. Robin was up here sharing it. Multiple people share it. But we don't want to share it just to be, hey, look at me. Your testimony is meant for others. And not to just run around saying it, but also to know when you'll know. It gets put in your heart. It gets put there. And you share it with somebody. Explain the struggles you go through. You know, Paul was continually given his testimony over and over and over, all through Acts, to the point he's beaten, to the point he gets up, goes and shares it again, They try to stone him. Gets up, does it again, imprisoned, freed from chains, and he just continues to go over and over with it. Acts 22, 6 through 8. As I was on the... So, also, this kind of really hit me as I got on the Saul with the two, with the garment, and the couple times he went to Lut, saved his life. So Paul says, as I was on the way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. See, I found it interesting because I wasn't, you know, Paul was Saul before. Saul was always persecuting David, going after David. Saul here, before Paul, is persecuting Christians. You have it in your old, you have it into your new, and it just continues. And it's almost that now you actually see Jesus addressing Saul. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And from that day, and can you imagine how hard it would have been for Paul? I mean, he was persecuting Christians. Now he's trying to go in and be like, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's like, yeah, yeah, you're really with me. Like, are you trying to get enough of us together? And like, and then you're going to go back to Saul. But so he was even from there at Jerusalem. He would travel to Rome, sharing the same testimony everywhere he stopped. On the way to Rome, they were even in a ship. Paul tried to assure him, the weather's bad, we should just stay here, you know, there's no point in rushing, I'm not going anywhere, I'm meant to go to Rome, you'll get me to Rome. But they, you know, people don't want to listen. So they get out onto the ship, they're in a 14-day storm, and it's been going on for 14 days, they've been offloading cargo and just continuing, and in Acts 27, 21 through 25, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail for Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that I will be that it will be exactly as it as I have been told. So he doesn't really get into like, oh my gosh. He says it once. I told you all we shouldn't have sailed, but let me tell you, you're okay. So from there, that ship wrecks. They end up on a island that later they discover was called Malta. And the people there watch a viper come out the fire, bite them. And sounds like Paul just kind of looks at it, takes it off. And then they spend hours waiting. Like, man, that man's going to die soon. Something's going to happen. And nothing happens. And now all these people are just sitting there thinking Paul's a god and just keeps healing. Paul's sitting there healing that. God had his purpose. See, when our storms hit, there's a purpose for that storm. Whether it's to break us out of where we were, because, you know, we need broken out of it sometimes. And but that wherever we're ending up, it's God's purpose. When we're being kingdom building, kingdom minded, where you're at, whether it's struggle, goodness, it's you're there for a purpose. And we need to start getting intentional. Paul was very intentional. Every time his intention was to bring Jews and Gentiles to know that Jesus the Messiah was there. This Jesus was the Savior. And he continued on being intentional. And that's sharing your testimonies to others again. And, you know, I struggle with this. But we don't, I don't say it enough. Like sometimes, oh yeah, that worked out. That was good. You know, that was great. But over scripture, you see it's continually pointed to God. God helped me here. God did this. People aren't going to want to hear it. People get sick of it, but God does do it. I still remember when I first started working for Integrity. It was a shift, you know, I was making a little more money at the other place, but I needed consistency. And we were sitting in the struggle of trying to figure out that new cycle. And we were on a job site right up the road, Brookhaven, building those apartments. And I was sitting out by the Connexes and I just prayed. I'm like, there was a certain amount of money we needed before my next paycheck. And I prayed. I kid you not. My wife's unemployment had been out for a month or two. The next day, an unemployment check in there for that amount. I mean, I wasn't going to call and ask, did you mean to send this? You know, you put it in there, we're good. That's on you. But, you know, it's real. You know, whether I could have prayed that and not gotten it, and still my faith to God is not going to change. But that was God at that moment. And I never took that as an opportunity in that moment. I mean, I could have been the next day on the job site. Man, do you know what happened? Do you believe this? God's good. But we don't initiate that way. We aren't intentional enough, I feel. I mean, call someone. I know through here, I got a couple people in mind I need to call. They used to be coming before COVID. I mean, we have a new definition of AC and BC. You know, you had before Christ, after Christ. Now you got before COVID and after COVID. And I'm telling you, after COVID, everybody's using COVID. I mean, we can't, on our job site, windows are out 8 months, you know, woods, I mean, prices are 400% more than what they were. I mean, a 2x4 was $3. It's 10 now. It's about to go to 15, you know, and these are our suppliers where we get deals, you know, so I don't know how that's all going to work out, but there's a true before COVID and after COVID, we now get a walkthrough. But reach out, you know, ask them how they're doing. It's not a call to be like, hey, man, I ain't seen you in church. What are you doing? You know, it's, hey, you know, I missed you. Just want to see if you're okay. You know, you need something, feel free to call. Just checking in. That's becoming intentional. That's starting to show that we do care. We do love, especially in the times when it's hard. I mean, if we're intentional to those around us, they will know that we serve and worship a loving, faithful, promise-keeping God whose son Jesus opened the doors for anyone from any situation to dwell in that peace of eternity. Deuteronomy 6 and 9, you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. I mean, it should be that constant reminder. I mean, we need it as humans. I mean, if you aren't in here doing it, I'm sorry, I cannot. Maybe you're great, maybe you're always watching and just doing fine, but you're also watching in your comfort. You're watching in your comfort. When we try to maintain comfort, we really aren't growing. We should be uncomfortable. It should feel like, ugh, I'm uncomfortable as heck right now, so I will assure that. Thankfully, I haven't had my little one being over there. But so another thing that recently I changed, I didn't even realize it, but I used to have my alarm set and I had to like pick a song. I didn't want to hear words too much. I wanted just some music in the beginning for my alarm. And it was a little crazy. It was like, I can't even remember what song. Jamie would always be on. Like, oh my gosh. I'm like, well, got to get up. You know, but all it did was make me hit the snooze quicker. You know, like, oh man, don't want to hear that right now. So I recently changed it and it'd been about a month. And Jamie's like, when'd you change that? She's like, I really like that. It's this song, and it just starts out, where would I be without Jesus? Where would I be without Jesus? I'm nothing without Jesus. And, you know, to hear that every morning, it started to make, you know, I might have gone that morning. My wife might have gone that morning. We know it. We know we're saved. We know we're with Jesus. But we aren't thinking of it in that morning. You know, you wake up in that morning, where would I be without Jesus? I'm nothing, nothing without Jesus. All I am is just some logs for some fire without Jesus. So let's continue to be intentional, church. Build it out, reach out, So there is no person or power that can hold back God's plan. We need to be kingdom-minded, kingdom purpose, kingdom-driven. 1 Corinthians 3, 7 through 8. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Only God who gives the growth. We don't do it. You know, we have no power to do it. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to labor. But God still is rewarding us. You know, we don't need to be the savior, but God's going to reward us. Later on in 10 through 11, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation's set, but how are we building that foundation? Are we building it all obscured to what we want to view? Are we building it to where it's going to hold strong through the storms? And I just believe that as pastor's been preaching all faith, no fear, that we need to start stepping out with a little all faith, no fear. And believe you me, I'm speaking to myself more up here, because otherwise I wouldn't know what to write if I was trying to write for y'all. So I need to like go through my own here. But we really have the freedom to do what God calls us to do. And we need to stop holding back from that. We need to allow that power to be there and continue to worship and praise him. So I think that, yes, I did get there. I do have a song. Yes, I did kind of steal this title from what you're about to hear a little bit later. But I gave you the good version. I didn't give you the one with like a rapper. So you heard that one? My son yells at me. He's like, no, put the other one on. I'm like, what? But I'd like to end in prayer here. And again, Rod, I thank you. Father God, I just pray that as Coastal, I thank you for how intentional they are here and how intentional they're always willing to be. I just pray that those here as individuals, Father, can continue to build Coastal out from these walls, Father, that it's into Flagler Beach and Flagler County and furthermore, and that even if these seats stay 100, that it turns into thousands outside of here that continue to follow and worship and get saved to you, Father. I thank you for the leadership here and the opportunities for all of us, and I continue to pray that it's built and give us all strength from this day and this moment to really start here and start now and be kingdom-minded and kingdom-purpose and build that kingdom, because your time coming back is sooner now than it ever was. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You want that song?
Can I steal?
Yeah. Got the song done. Very good.
Watch our worship on the screen. We got a rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our blessings in our pocket. We keep our missions overseas. But for the hurting in our city, would we even cross the street? But we want to see the hearts set free and the tyrants healed. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if they want to see a change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. I'm like the brother of the prodigal, who turned his nose and puffed his chest. He didn't run off like his brother, what if soul was just as dead? What if the church on Sunday was still the church on Monday too? What if we came down from our towers and walked a mile in someone's shoes? Cause we wanna see the harvest set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. A church if we wanna see a change in the world out there, it's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. We're the people who are called by His name. As we surrender all our pride and turn from our way, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land, but it starts right here. We're the people who are called by His name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. The Lord's gotta right here. The Lord's gotta right now. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. Lord, start right here. Lord, start right now.
Hallelujah. Wow. Always wanting to make place at the table for the next generation, and somebody who's fought and all their life that I've been in their sphere and their influence, Tom and Susie have fought for the next generation. And so, Tom and Susie, I don't think it's just by coincidence that you're here in the house, and I would like you to come up forward. And I want everybody that's 40 and below to stand. No, Valerie, you didn't make it a long time ago. Those that are 40 and below, I want you to know that you represent what we want to pray into, declare over, announce, because it starts right here and it starts right now. I know that our generation, we've paddled hard. We've paddled hard for our generation. We cannot paddle for your generation. You have to do it. You guys, I know that Saul has armor. He has a sword. He has a shield. That's how he fought. But David came in with a sling and stone. Messes our minds up. We don't know how you guys are going to do this. But you guys, it's your time. There is no plan B. You are plan A. And so there is a calling on your life. We will cheer you on. We will support you. We will help you. We'll provide a building. We'll make sure there's sound. We'll do everything. We'll make our ceiling your platform. But you've got to do it. Right here, right now. So there is a calling on these men and women's lives and all the ministry they've been involved in to cry out for their generation and for this generation that we're talking into. So just share what's on your heart, because you guys both were really powerful prophetically. Thank you, Sue.
You know, listen, we started out, guys that were standing up. We started out, you know, I came to know Jesus when I was 15. Lost, suicidal teenager, messed up, thought there was no purpose in life. Stumbled into a Jesus freak meeting in Southern California. Didn't know what the heck was going on, but I walked in and I felt something different. I felt God. I felt love. I felt what I'd never experienced the entire of my life. I wanted out of this world because I didn't have that. Then I stumble in just to a group of people that contained that love. And my life was changed. But it wasn't changed by osmosis. It was changed because some young 21-year-old guy got up and said, "You got to know Jesus." And I'm like, "Who? What? I never heard of him." And he told me who he was. And it was just, you know, we're here to proclaim good news. And when you're lost and lonely and empty and wondering, what the heck am I even here for? And you find out truth, it's everything. And so we go on as a testimony to you guys, all of us that have gone before you. Don't be discouraged by the way we look. I mean, you know, some. But don't be discouraged. But I mean, he was good for our lives. And he saved our lives. And he was worth following. And he was worth serving. And he was worth loving. And to this very day, he is. And we're not handing away our torch. I'll tell you that right now. But we will come alongside you and we'll light your torch and let you run with this truth, because we're not here forever, you know? So who else is gonna tell you? I know when to stop.
Yes.
Everybody relax. No. It's fine.
No, just to go along with this theme of what we're talking about, there's a thing we share about Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary. And, you know, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth longed to see the purposes of God fulfilled, like our generation. You know, oh, where's my baby? Where's my baby? Where's my baby? And never came. Then one day, surprise, surprise, the Lord speaks to Zach. He comes back, and I guess he had to do it with sign language, but he brings her to a point where they get pregnant, and it's an amazing thing. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, there's another generation. And this girl she didn't have a clue. She just was going to get married. And the angel of the Lord speaks to her and says, you're going to carry the Savior of the world, right? Now, listen, though. This is the key point. How did the angel encourage her? Because she goes, hey, I don't know anything about this. How is this going to happen? He says, listen, Elizabeth, your cousin is already 6 months along. And she went, what, that old girl? She's going to have a baby? She took it as the confirmation. Yeah. Listen, the old church, the old girl, has to get pregnant so the new girl can be encouraged. And that's just what Rob was just sharing. You know, listen, the old girl is taking care of this platform. The new girl is going to bring the greatest salvation forward that the world has ever seen. Do you understand how that plays out? And so that means that both babies have to be born. If you're older, you know, if you're over 40, like, well, I wish I was. Okay, but in that, if you're 40, okay, don't sit there and go, well, I can retire and let the whippersnappers take care of it, you know. No, don't. Shut up. Get up off your lazy butt and do something for the kingdom of God. You know, I was looking at the Lord spoke to us this morning. He said, help with the building thing, you know, especially because they're going to double it. So that was awesome. You know, so we're praying about that as well. But, you know, we're just visiting, you know, we do claim roots here. We do. But in that, I want you to understand, pay the stinking thing off so we can start reaching the lost. That's all there is to it. But in that, it's going to take an older generation to, you know, we say, oh, we're saving up for a rainy day. Well, it's been rainy, you know. Right? So let's spend this thing. Let's get it taken care of. Let's make room so that when we can start thinking about, you know, I was looking at that building down the beach, 300, whatever that is, across from the pier. I thought, wow, what a great youth building. What a great place to turn into a center that the community can come and be part of. But we got to pay this so we can pay that so we can move on. Let's make room. Let's make room for Mary's baby. Yeah? Holy Spirit, come. Change our hearts. Take our eyes and take them off of us and turn them onto the world, Lord, that we can see. Lord, break our hearts with things that break yours. Bring your kingdom come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Can I just say a great word? Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thanks so much. Praise the Lord. Well, just there are pledge forms in the seats in front of you just to kind of let us know how we can go forward and budget. And so we're excited about that. So let me pray for you and let you go. Starts right here, right now. The starting line is at the door. When you go out the door, that's the starting line. So run. Run the race with all gumption. Father, thank you. Whew. Starts right here, right now. We thank you that. Father, you're quickening us. by your Holy Spirit, like you've never quickened us. You're going to allow us to see things in Scripture, a now word that will get us up and run the race. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that if you be for us, who can be against us? So Father, as we now break to fellowship with the one another's, that we would be encouragement, that we'd cheer each other on, and that Father, we'll stir each other up for great things, good things, mighty things, because you're a good God. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week.